The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. And what a day this is. This is the day before we get started with the 41st Ryder Cup at Hazeltine National Golf Club. And we have our Frank Bassett, the man on the road. He's Kerouac to us. He's on the road every week somewhere. And he is now at Hazeltine covering the Ryder Cup for us. And he has told us at least 15 times that it is electric at Hazeltine and the Ryder Cup. And if you haven't been to a Ryder Cup or even watched a Ryder Cup much before, he's exactly right. The Ryder Cup is a very, very special event, and we're going to be coming to you for the next few days from Hazeltine and give you all the feel we can. A lot of drama around this one already, and a lot of it, probably unsurprisingly, is centered around Phil Mickelson and comments that Phil Mickelson made. We'll talk to you about that a little bit. Also, we have Danny Willett's brother making an unbelievable statement, and a long rambling statement, but a very anti-American statement that we'll talk to you about as well. Coming up, we have a few different guests for us. We have Major Ed Polito is with us. He is with the Folds of Honor Foundation. They provide spouses and children of fallen soldiers scholarships and do a great job. And we, of course, always try to support the troops here on Golf Talk America. And I've talked to the people from Folds of Honor Foundation in the past. So Ed will be joining us in just a little bit. Bob Bupka from the Grill Room on TuneIn Radio will join us as well. This is probably Bob's, well, there's 41 Ryder Cups. Bob's probably been to 39 of them. So we'll talk to Bob coming up in just a little bit. And John Feinstein, the great author and broadcaster that we've all heard from about golf and his viewpoints, will be joining us a little bit later as well. So a great show lined up. Hey, Frank, how's everything going? I can tell one thing about Hazeltine, and that's from watching TV earlier, that it's chilly. You're in Minnesota. You're just outside of Minneapolis, but it's chilly this morning, isn't it?
Minnesota, yeah. It's cold. No, it's cold out here.
It's 46 degrees. Today, I just checked. It's 46 degrees right now.
Yeah.
It's chilly.
That's chilly. Yeah. Yeah. That's chilly, yeah. But it's beautiful. The crystal clear skies, the sun's out. There are already thousands and thousands and thousands of people here already this morning. It is, have I told you it's electric here?
No, is that a word you'd use? Electric. Okay, let's go with that.
I'll tell you, you know, we do a lot of tournaments and a lot of majors and been to Ryder Cups before. But this one, it has its own series of controversies going on right now, but it's just exciting as heck. And let's just jump right into it and get the 1,000-pound gorilla in the room out here. Danny Willett, our past Masters champion,
sure,
his brother, PJ Willett, wrote, and I quote, "They need to silence the pudgy basement-dwelling irritants stuffed on cookie dough and pissy beer, pausing between mouthfuls of hot dog so they can scream Baba Booey until their jelly faces turn red." And he continues, "They need to stun the angry, unwashed, make America great again swarm, desperately gripping their concealed carry compensators and belting out mashed potato, hoping to impress their cousin." And he continues, "They need to smash the obnoxious dads with their shiny teeth, Lego man hair, medicated ex-wives, and resentful children. Squeezing into their cargo shorts and boating shoes, they'll bellow, 'Get in the hole,' whilst high-fiving all the other members of the dentist's big game hunt society. Team Europe needs to silence these cretins quickly." End quote.
That's a mouthful.
I'm going to get my gun.
Wow. Just,
buddy, I hope I can run into PJ Willett one of these days.
He attacked members. So I'm curious, what is Danny?
Equal opportunity attacker, yes.
Has Danny responded to that? What did he say?
Danny did respond to it. I don't have his quote up right now, but he apologized profusely. Yeah. Asked for an interview on the Golf Channel to apologize.
Wow.
I'm sure that he's not going to, it's not going to be a good Thanksgiving with the Willett family this year.
That was
unbelievable.
It's funny in the sense because it's so like over the top that it's funny that he went after everybody and every kind of person that America has. And so it's,
yeah,
it tells you, I think, the intensity that is felt and maybe to his extent a little extreme, but the intensity that's felt during the Ryder Cup of them against us and us against the and so here we go. We started already with some comments, negative comments about what's going on. And in the past, if you remember a few Ryder Cups ago, Phil Mickelson, and we'll talk about him in a second here too, Phil Mickelson brought up the fact that I believe it was Rory and Sergio were in litigation, were they not, about their agent. They were firing their agent. Their agent was suing them, I think, for something was going on right during the Ryder Cup. And Phil brought that into it as if to say, well, they're distracted because they're being sued by their former agent. And that kind of stirred the pot. And everybody's like, well, why do you have to bring that up? But that's what happens during Ryder Cup. People bring up stuff that, trying to get underneath their skin.
Yeah. And then Phil in the interview center yesterday here in the media center made some comments about, the pairing of he and Tiger Woods together and not having enough time to prepare, and sort of faulted in his insinuation Hal Sutton lashed back a little bit because it was like a slam. The way it was presented to him by the media, they went out and found him on the course immediately, looking for a story, which we don't do at Golf Talk America. We look for the good in everything. We always have and we always will. But they got Hal. So anyway, Phil has now apologized profusely to Hal because Hal was going to leave. He said, I just don't even need to be here anymore. I'm out of here.
Right.
And
right.
For about 5 years after he lost that Ryder Cup so badly, I think it was 9.5 to, points is all they got.
18.5 to 9.5, right.
Yeah.
Back in
04.
Yeah.
Yeah. He disappeared from golf for about 5 years.
Right.
So
it was difficult. And what happened for people that didn't know is that he paired Tiger and Phil together, which was a risky pairing because everyone wasn't sure if they even got along, much less pair together in a Ryder Cup. And Phil's part to that was, we were playing with Tiger's ball at a different compression, and there's a difference in the ball, and I had to get used to playing with his ball. His point was really that Hal, in making the pairing, kind of put us in a position where, I was playing with the ball I wasn't comfortable with, and that was part of the reason we lost, but he said we certainly got annihilated, so it wasn't all of it. And he was just trying to say that captains have to have a strategy, that there's more to it than, that's compiled on top of what he did the last Ryder Cup when he basically ripped Tom Watson for being pretty heavy-handed as a captain at Glen Eagles, and Watson was sitting three guys down from him when he did it. Yeah. So this is not uncommon for Phil to bring something up. He did apologize and said, I didn't mean it to sound that way, but at some point Phil's going to have to learn how to not say things and just keep his mouth shut so he doesn't have to apologize later.
Well, I can relate to that. Frank Bassett puts his foot in his mouth a lot, too, because I'm blatantly honest in my opinions and how I really feel. Phil is just that way. Now, to go back to Hal Sutton and what Paul McGinley, who was the captain, the European team captain that year, said about Hal Sutton in response to all of this brouhaha that's going on, that's now hopefully settling down. He said, Hal Sutton came down the next morning to the European team hotel as they were all getting ready to leave and shook everyone's hands, all the wives, Paul McGinley and his wife, and congratulated them and wished them safe travels. Now, you know what? Paul McGinley said he has all the respect in the world for Hal Sutton. I know Hal Sutton. Yeah, you know Hal. You've been around him. Hal is probably one of the most sincere, honest, and caring men I've ever met. So I know it hurt his feelings. He was thinking of leaving the Ryder Cup, but hopefully now that the apologies, and it was really a heartfelt apology from Phil, that we can get back in focusing on beating the Europeans. That's the focus. It doesn't need to be all this garbage. Let's get on with the game, man.
But
let's play some golf.
I mean, it is what it is. We can say it all we
I'm
want.
Ready.
I promise you, in 2 years, something else will come up. It just does. It's something, and it may be intentional, it may
always
be unintentional, but there'll be somebody who says something. Hey, by the way, obviously the teams are set, and it's 12 against 12. Matches will start tomorrow morning. The coverage begins on the Golf Channel for people that want to pay attention. 6 a.m. Eastern time tomorrow morning is when coverage begins. Remember, it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And the European team, which is the underdog in many people's opinion, that the United States should win this one, but we've heard that a number of times before. They should win. Half the team, the European team, are rookies. Half are rookies.
Yeah. So yeah, they are.
Darren Clark is mounted an awful lot of his expectations on guys that have never been through this before, and that's an awful lot. I don't know what the record is for rookies on a team. That's got to be pretty close, having half your team be rookies. But that's going to be a big part of this, I think.
Yeah, here it is. 9:30 a.m. hole one. Stenson, Rose, McIlroy, Sullivan. 9:45 a.m. Garcia, Keimer, Willett, Westwood. 10 a.m. Wood, Fitzpatrick, Cabarabello, and Peters. That's their practice rounds going out today. 9:30, 9:45, and 10 a.m. The American team, they go out at 11. But I'm anxious to get out there and watch some of these rookies on the European team. And, you know, maybe they have ice water in their veins. Maybe they can just pull it off because they don't have any battle wounds.
You know what's interesting, too? And Tiger, of course, not playing. He's an assistant alternate captain for Davis Love. But what's interesting, and my point being, he doesn't have a winning record in the Ryder Cup. When you look at the worst record, of course, you have rookies that have never played before. The worst record on the European side is Martin Keimer, who we all remember winning a couple of Ryder Cups ago. Martin Keimer with a winning putt is 4-3-3. Okay, so that's the worst record. Now you look at the American team and their records. Well, Phil, who's been in a bunch of these, is 16-19-7, so he's under 500. You look at Brant Snedeker, he's 1-2. Jimmy Walker, 1-1-3. J.B. Holmes is stellar, but he's only been 1-2-0-1. And Ricky Fowler hasn't won a point. He's 0-4-4. Yeah. So the records are not very good from the American team. The European guys, the top of the guy is Lee Westwood. He's 20. He's been in a lot of these, too. 20-15-6. And Sergio's been phenomenal. He's 18-9-5. So the Europeans, the ones that have played before, know what it's like to win. And they've got pretty confident records behind them, whereas the Americans, there's really not anybody. If you lean on Phil, that's fine. He's been there before, but he hasn't won more than he's lost. He's lost more matches. So it still looks a little upside down when you look at the history of the players that are playing in this one starting tomorrow morning.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I don't know. It's there's a lot of battle-wounded Americans playing, as I call it. So I don't know. It's going to be a great Ryder Cup. That's all I can say.
It will be.
I think I'm looking at Janice Self, who works with Bob Bupka on The Grill Room, is looking into our booth right now. I'm looking at Bob Bupka down here. He just finished his show with Alex Maselli. Mark Lies right behind me. Hey, Mark. Right behind me doing SiriusXM Radio. We are officially PGA Tour Radio. SiriusXM is Ryder Cup Radio this week. So Golf Talk America is PGA Tour Radio this week, and happy to be here. Yeah, they're interviewing Phil right now outside. He just got here, so we'll see what's happening and what's going on with Phil Mickelson. But Bob Bupka's walking in right now. You want to just keep going?
Sure, let's just talk to Bob. You want to put Bob in here?
You want to go to Bob?
No, let's talk to Bob.
Talk to Bob. Bob's always fun to hold on. I'm getting the headset on Bob. We're bringing Bob Bupka in.
Hello.
There he is, the man, the legend. That's good.
There he is.
Good. How are you?
I just saw you recording your show.
I'm finished.
So here we go.
All right,
What's on the Grill Room, Bob Bupka, TuneIn Radio, but you're worldwide. You do a lot of Europeans.
I'm going to be working for Talk Sport, the world's largest sports radio station now, based out of London. Excited about that. Excited about being on your show, Frank. As always, we've had a lot of fun together at various events, and now we're here at the threshold of another Ryder Cup, and it's full of intrigue. It's full of questions. It's going to be full of drama. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Bob, can you hold that thought? Our producer's telling us we've got to go to break very quickly and make an adjustment to the settings, and we'll come right back in. So you're listening to Golf Talk America on PGA Tour Radio, PGAtour.com. We've got Bob Bupka in here. We're not going to let him go. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back, Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you in the Dallas studios and joining us at the Ryder Cup at Hazeltine National Golf Club outside of Minneapolis. Frank Bassett will be with you for the next couple of days and bring you all the action that's happening there at the 41st Ryder Cup. And joining us just before the break was our good friend Bob Bupka from The Grill Room on TuneIn Radio. Hey, Bob, let me ask you, and I was kind of kidding around before, how many Ryder Cups you've been to. I'm fairly accurate in saying you weren't at the original one, but you've probably been at a few, haven't you?
Well, this is my 16th, so that's over 32 years. A lot of them, and I've enjoyed each and every one, and every one has a different flavor, a different feel, and certainly this one Wade's team seems to be operating by committee, and the European team seems to be controlled by Darren Clark. So, and the United States team has publicly said, we've been doing it wrong. We're going to try. And the amazing thing about Ryder Cups, and it'll hold true this week, it's held true at every one that I've been to, if you win, everything you did was it. And if you lose, everything you did was the wrong way of doing it. They most of the time, both teams do extremely well. I mean, I always go back to Dublin, Tom Lehman, the captain, and everybody agreed that every single box that needed to be ticked was done by Tom Lehman. He didn't leave anything to chance. Every detail was covered. Every player was happy. The pairings were spectacular. They lost. Tom Lehman, now regarded as a lousy captain.
Hey, Bob, I have to ask you a question. Well, I don't want to dwell on it, but Danny Willett's brother, PJ, really excoriated. He had some pretty rugged comments about the American team. And the Americans.
Well, my position on this, it might be a little bit different than everybody else's. The fact that we're paying attention at all to the comments of Peter Willett, who's Danny Willett's brother, amazes me. Yeah. I mean, who cares what Danny Willett's brother has to say and how it can make news. Now, if Danny Willett's cousin writes something, would it have the same reaction? Or now, if anybody ever shook Danny Willett's hand, write something? I mean, you know, why? I mean, we're playing right into the hands of Peter Willett. If he writes something and we didn't pay attention to it, nobody would be known about it. Now we're making him famous for no reason at all. I read noise. The article. First off, you have to almost look at it from the British way of looking at it, and their satire is a lot harsher, I should say, than ours. And who cares what Peter Willett thinks about American fans? I mean, I don't care.
Yeah, that's what we said in the first segment. We said, let's just get on to playing golf. We shouldn't be focusing on that. We shouldn't be focusing on Phil and Hal and Peter or anybody. Let's focus on winning. Let's focus on the task at hand, and that's what we said this morning. So you're spot on. I agree.
And the problem with, you know, saying, well, we got to get on with winning, okay? Well, we could play terrible golf this week and we could win. We could play fantastic golf this week and we could lose. I mean, it's only a brief look into 3 days, really quick. I mean, how many lip-ins do you need versus lip-outs? And how many hole-outs from bunkers do you need on the other side to negate? I mean, you knock it in there 3 feet for birdie and the guy holes out from the fairway for eagle. I mean, you're playing great golf, but, you know, so let's just enjoy it. I mean, Samuel Ryder, 1927, when he came up with this concept, it was about sportsmanship and getting people together and promoting the sport of golf. I'm not seeing any of that anymore. I don't see this Ryder Cup as promoting golf. I mean, when we came up with that label, which I thought was rather insulting, the war at the shore, I mean, come on. I mean, the families out there that have lost sons and daughters in wars. I mean, let's not compare a golf match to a war. I mean, this is supposed to be great fun, great competition. We shake hands, we celebrate golf, and we move on.
Well said. Well said.
Well, it's just how I feel, Frank. I mean, Tim, I don't know where you sit, you know, as far as the importance of winning or losing. It really, I, as a broadcaster, here's what I wish, all right? I want it Sunday afternoon, four singles matches to go, and we're all tied up. That's what
that
I want.
That would be fun.
And then that would be fun. Whatever happens then, that's ideal. Then it's a fantastic Ryder Cup. If we win every point and, the first singles match decides the Ryder Cup, that's not fun.
I am curious, though. Oh, go ahead, Tim. Sorry.
If I could, I am interested, though, speaking about the Mickelson thing, not so much what he said or if it carries weight or doesn't carry weight as far as affecting the play, but if his point is the captain does have more input, because the answer that was his answer to the question of, well, whoever the captain is, doesn't it just come down to something we all say, which is just play better? The players play better, then everybody looks better, just play better. And he said, well, that has an effect. And he brought up the pairings because he had to play with Tiger's ball, which had a different compression and therefore didn't go as far for him. He putted differently on the greens. And so the choice of putting them together, and again, it went to a couple years ago when he said, well, the heavy-handedness of the way Tom Watson was the captain, it was speaking to the captaincy and that they can affect the outcome. So, Frank, in that sense, regardless of what the comments are, do you think the captain, you think Davis Love in this case, can affect the outcome, or is it really just and Phil said, you know what, it's too simplistic. If you guys think we just play better, we win, there is more into this, the captain being one of those. Do you think the captain does have some input?
I'll defer to Bob.
Well, I want to go back to the Hal Sutton thing and Phil complaining about having to play Tiger's golf ball. People forget that Phil just made the transition to Callaway and was playing a Callaway ball that he only picked up a week before. So, I mean, Phil's good enough to play with a ping pong ball as far as I'm concerned. I mean,
sure.
They didn't. Tiger and Phil didn't play well. And the funny question is, people say, why did he put Hal Sutton? Why did he put him out again in the afternoon after they lost in the morning? And that can go right back to when they announced the pairing. I was sitting right there, and Hal said, I'm going to put Phil and Tiger together. And somebody raised their hand and said, what happens if they lose? And Hal, not anticipating the question, basically stood up and said, lose? I'll tell you, if they lose, I'm putting them right back out together again in the afternoon. So he was committed. Yeah. He never thought they were going to lose. He didn't want them to lose. He was hoping that they would win, but that was cast in stone because of his comments. Wow. When he announced the pairing. So I hope Phil has the greatest Ryder Cup. You know, this is 11th one. He's won a total of 10 points, and that's not a lot of points.
No.
Over 10 appearances. So, you know, Phil's getting it. When you look at Phil Mickelson, in some ways, as great a golfer as he is, and he certainly has been a magnificent golfer, you don't accomplish what he did. But unfortunately, because of circumstances, he never was number one in the world. All right,
no, that's
because
right.
Tiger was there. He's never won that U.S. Open. He's finished second 6 times. I mean, he needs a U.S. Open for a Grand Slam. So when you look at you look at Phil, in some ways, he's a multimillionaire and everything else, but he certainly deserved to have been the number one golfer in the world. He certainly has deserved to win a U.S. Open. Sam Snead never won a U.S. Open. Nancy Lopez never won a U.S.
That's
Open.
Right.
So
wow.
He's in pretty powerful company there. But I'll say this much. Phil and Amy, they're just absolutely spectacular. And Timmy, I enjoy it so much with you and Frank. And
thank you.
I thank you guys for having me on the air. But
he's got to go back on the air.
I got to go. Well, I got to go make sure Phil Mickelson's going to be playing the right golf ball today. Take care, guys.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks,
that
Bob.
That was Bob Bupka. How good is that? Bob's always the best. He's one of my idols in broadcasting. I love Bob to death.
He's
but Bob's having
guy.
To jump up now and jump right back on the air. So
busy guy.
Let's
so appreciate his time
get us
there.
Out of here for a minute.
Yep.
Yeah, get us out of here, and we'll bring on Major Ed Polito from the Folds of Honor.
All right, let's take
you
a quick time out, and we got much, much more coming. We also have John Feinstein join us a little bit later on the show. You're listening to Golf Talk America, coming to you live from the Ryder Cup at Hazeltine, and we'll be back right after this. ¶¶ Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you, and we, of course, are joined by Frank Bassett. He's at the Ryder Cup, coming to us live from Hazeltine National Golf Club. It's the 41st Ryder Cup, and it's the first Ryder Cup in recent memory that Arnold Palmer has not been with us. And once again, we pay tribute to Arnie, to the King, for all the great things he did for the world of golf, passing away earlier this week, and how sad it's been for a lot of people. As a matter of fact, Sergio Garcia made a very good comment saying he was a true legend, and it is going to be sad that he won't be around with us to at least watch the Ryder Cup. But he said, I'm sure he's up there with Seve, commenting on every shot that's going to be played. And, you know, it's kind of a neat visual. That, yeah, Seve and Arnie are up there having their own little Ryder Cup. They're both fierce competitors, so it's kind of a neat comment.
And they're both
Sergio.
Yeah, and they're both lobbying God for the win. So, yeah. You know, there's some gamesmanship going on in heaven right now. God bless Arnold Palmer's soul.
The weather seems to be on the side of the Europeans, though, Frank, because let's be honest, most of the American team is made up of guys that live in warm climate. I mean, there aren't a lot of guys in Minnesota or Illinois or Wisconsin playing on the tour from our country. But Europeans are used to chilly weather and playing more in the chilly weather. We were watching earlier, and guys are in their stocking caps. It's a chilly morning. We were saying it was 46 degrees. It should be similar tomorrow. I don't know. I mean, you live in Nashville. I live in Dallas. We don't have a lot of cold weather. But I think that might be a bit of an advantage for the European guys who are just more used to playing in chilly conditions.
It could be, but I think what we do is we bring in our resident weather, lifestyle, morality, an all-around fabulous warrior for this country, and let him comment on some of that. Major Ed Polito. Ed, thank you for being here, buddy.
Hey, man, thanks for having me, man.
Everybody,
love the show, man, brother.
Everybody knows him as Major Ed, the Folds of Honor. He and Dan Rooney run that show. And Major Ed, what's going on? What's Folds of Honor doing here at the Ryder Cup? What sort of things are happening? What are you involved in?
Well, you know what? We're all here to just thank everyone that has helped us through the course of the year. We'll have about 2,500 to 3,000 scholarships we'll award from just this Patriot Golf Day weekend and also the endeavors that we've had all over the nation up to this date. And I just got to say, you know, it's a great day to be an American, a great day to be at the Ryder Cup. Go USA. And you know what? You just got to root for the whole thing. I mean, look how beautiful this place is. I mean, the media side of it is just like on steroids, man.
It's huge. I told Tim this morning about 12 times. I said, the place is electric, and they were laughing at me. Is it not electric?
It's 14 times now.
Oh, hey, we're missing you, man. It's like, you know, it is electric, but the electricity outside, too.
Awesome.
I mean, the fans are here. We spoke to Pete yesterday with the PGA. He said there's 40,000 people running around just like, you know, the last couple of days. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? That is so valuable. So we want to thank the PGA of America and the USGA and the PGA Tour folks for supporting Folds of Honor, Patriot Golf Day, and Major Rooney and the whole entire team. And I've got Tony Beata, my sidekick here. You know what? We're making a difference.
You know, what we need to do with you, Major Ed, is, you know, Azalea House is my sponsor at the Masters.
Yes.
But they're our sponsor here, AzaleaHospitality.com.
Okay.
Fabulous guys. Marcus Brunell, Billy Lombard, Chris Demain. They leased us for this. Just bringing me up here, they leased me a four-story antebellum home built in 1890 right here in Chaska.
Wow, really?
This place, it's haunted, I swear. Tim, I was nervous all night last night. There are gargoyles.
There
are gargoyles on the front as you come in. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is kind of scary here.
Is that where you're staying?
Yeah, it's right down the street. This gorgeous home. But we need to get you involved with the Azalea House because they want to do a lot for charity, and I think that the Folds of Honor would be well served by speaking with those guys.
Well, and you know what? I would love to do that and maybe just kind of share a message with them.
Sure.
And just tell all your listeners, you know what? I want to thank everyone in this country. You know, I, after losing my leg, and I don't know if you know this, but today is a very special time for me. You know, almost 12 years ago, this is when I lost a leg.
I did not
on
know
this
that.
Day. And so to
God
be here at
heart.
The Ryder Cup, walking around with my red, white, and blue gear on, man, I don't know, man. Freedom's not free. I'm just so humbled and honored. And people have sent me goodwill messages today and said, you know what, don't give up on life. And that's what it's all about at the Folds
of
Honor.
You haven't. And you've saved a lot of lives.
Thank
by
you.
Virtue of what you guys do at the Folds of Honor. And we salute you.
Wow. And you know what? I know you all were talking about the King. And, you know, our country has been built upon the history of of just so many things. And, of course, that's another historical moment in our time frame where we'll say, you know, where were we with his passing? And you know what? The great thing about this is we can celebrate his life and celebrate the Ryder Cup. And hopefully the boys will go out there and hit it straight and frickin' bring in the prize. You know?
It's time to bring the prize back.
That's what I'm talking about.
Stay right here, brother. Yeah, absolutely. We're talking with Major Ed Pulido of the Folds of Honor, a good friend of Golf Talk America on PGA Tour Radio.
We love you, man.
We love you guys, too. I have so much fun with you. Your party every year at the PGA Merchandise Show. And I call it a party. It's a huge event, Tim, and they always have a few speakers, and they bring up a family who's benefited from the generosity and charity of the Folds of Honor and all the people who support the Folds of Honor. And I wouldn't care if you had the devil himself in that room, he would cry. I mean, it's just so emotionally moving.
Yeah.
And you sit back and go, my gosh, look at these families, what they've been through, what they've sacrificed. And we always talk about, you know, yourself and the Wounded Warriors, but the families have so much sacrifice on their side too, especially when they lose a loved one or something bad happens to them.
You're right. And Tim, and I mean, I've got to tell you, you're not here. I'd love to. Have you ever attended our event down there in that area down there in Orlando when we have that? Well, we'd love to invite you. Let me just tell you, like today, we're launching the Dream Ship with Rite Aid in New York. That's where Major Rooney is. And think about the cards that came in that were written by these kids. And basically, you know, you get a chance to be at this Dream Ship where it's just a big balloon and it's got the Folds of Honor logo. And my only point to that and thinking about that is that in Orlando, that's what we're all about, making dreams happen for these families. You know, they feel like they've been left behind. And then all of a sudden, we're there to inject something. And whether it's drinking a cold Budweiser to having people like Rite Aid involved in what we're doing, because they've given us, you know, $6 million is what's going to be the final tally. And think about all of that. But then this year, we're actually throwing a big, big monster party. I really can't talk much about it, but it's going to be over the top. And I will tell you that you better be ready, because this is the one to come to.
I'm all in, baby. I'm all in, pal.
Well, you know, you're VIP.
Hey, hear that, Tim? Did you hear that, Tim?
I heard that. It sounded like your voice, even.
Well, that wasn't me saying that. That was Major Ed saying that.
Sure. He gets free VIP and some extra food over there in the food line.
I'm all about the food. I'm all about the food.
Barbecue, baby.
Yeah. This is fun here. This media center, as Major Ed said, is ginormous. The event outside is ginormous, to coin a phrase, if that's a phrase. But we wish you were here, Tim. It'd be a lot of fun. Major Ed, what's on the horizon? I know you can't talk a lot about some of the things you're doing, but what's on the horizon for you particularly? Where are you heading after this?
Well, I'm heading back home, and then I've got an event that I'm doing with some of our board members, and then I'll be on the road to do events, my biggest events in Baton Rouge. We're going to be honored at the LSU football game on the 15th or 16th, I believe. And then after that, we're going to do the Alex McIntosh event. We got this group called Tall Oak that we're doing a big event with. But
you're killing me. You know I'm an Ole Miss graduate.
Are they playing together?
When's our game? I don't know. Bobby Raymond could probably pull that up and inject it.
You better check.
It may be that weekend. If it's that weekend, I'm coming.
It's like the 15th or 16th. We'll be out on the field. And, you know, it's funny because, hey, they just got rid of Les Miles. So it's kind of one of those things.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Bye-bye, Les. See you. You're out of here.
But
never saw that coming. Huh?
But they do a great job. And, you know, the great thing for us, you know, just to kind of tell you a little bit about what we've done on Patriot Golf Day, that's really the big endeavor. These events that we're having are Patriot Golf Day events. And people want to do an event for us. That's where really the magic comes, because we come out, we interject ourselves with everybody that's there. And then we also just have a great fellowship. And it's all themed around the red, white, and blue, and about making sure that we understand that, you know, we always have to stand up for the flag. And I'm just honored and grateful. You know, last year, you know, $6 million raised plus from Patriot Golf Day. We had so many golf courses sign up and participate. And then the PGA and the USGA have just been loyal partners to us. So can't complain. And I'm just honored and grateful that we're not leaving these families behind on the field of battle.
Tim, how do you follow that up?
I'm kind of curious, Ed. Were you a golf fan? Have you been a golf fan in the past? Because being at the Ryder Cup is the one time when it's kind of a national feeling, because otherwise it's individuals and there's actually players from all over the world. But this is them against us, and it's America. I think it's best because the rest of the country takes so much pride in this competition, even if they're not golf fans. So I'm just curious, were you raised as a golf fan, or is this just kind of a special thing for you because it is so patriotic this week?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I was not. I carried the general's basically clubs in the military, and I played at, you know, little fundraisers. But it wasn't until I met Jamie Carbone with the PGA of America, and then, of course, Joe Steranko, and then my sidekick here, who's here, my wingman, man, one of my favorite people, Tony Biotta, and then, of course, Major Rooney, who really kind of introduced me to not only the game, but the inside of the game and what this is all about. So when you come to this Ryder Cup, you see what the inside of the game is all about, and coming to the PGA Championships and being involved with the USGA, all these people have just, you know, they give you this data of information, and then all of a sudden you take it. And now I'm actually pretty good at talking about different things and knowing who's involved, and then being on shows like this and really being able to talk, but then also taking wounded service members overseas to play golf in Ireland.
Absolutely.
And then here in the United States. And I just feel like, you know what, God's given me some passion and purpose, and every day, you know what, I'm using the game of golf as a way not only for recovery for our vets, but to do philanthropy for these military families. And Tony Biotta is my coach, and he's taught me a little bit how to swing a little better and hit it a little straight. But you know what, at the end of the day, the game gives so much to charity, and that's what it's all about.
It does. You know, we're part of the PGA Tour, and it's we've given over $2 billion to charity in our charitable giving from the PGA Tour, and I'm proud to be part of the PGA Tour for that fact, too. But, you know, I've got to speak to how tough this man is sitting across from me.
Aww.
He's in shorts, okay? It's cold outside. He's got a thin shirt on and shorts, you know? And I'm sitting over freezing to death. You know, I've got to get some blood going in these veins.
Well, I want to motivate him.
Budweiser.
Ready to go to combat, baby.
Budweiser.
You know, it's funny. We know a lot of the players out there. You're right. The PGA Tour is just a remarkable group of an organization, corporate entity with all these, you know, they bring all the corporate entities together. I mean, if you've seen all out there where you all these companies, and then they just do it right, and they've been planning this for a long time. So it's just great to see, you know, the PGA of America and the Tour and USGA, all these groups just getting together and just saying, you know what, we can all support military families and we can all do it together.
And simplify the rule book.
Yes.
For Dustin Johnson's sake.
Is that the deal?
Simplify the rule.
Well, my friend Tom Karpis, he's one of our guys that raises a lot of money. He'll be out there on the rules deal.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling him, making those calls. Yeah. They need to get you out there. Where are you going to be?
No, I'm going to be out there. Or they don't need me with rules. I'm kind of.
What about Tim?
Tim. Tim's a good golfer.
Tim?
Oh, Tim plays with one of your friends who's on the front of your website. He's a buddy. George W. Yeah.
Well, sweet, my friend.
And we both cheat an awful lot.
Oh,
I would say that about the former president.
Should I not have said
that? No. Well, you know, I've known some people to drop golf balls out of their pant legs. You know.
Yeah, that's just not right.
That's just not right. Right I by that. Here it is.
I play every hole in whatever he says it is. You know.
Oh
well,
yeah,
he deserves it. I have a lot of you know how much I love the Bush family and how much I have for his father and George W. Bush.
I think you know you're right, and I think the Ryder Cup to me, you know, with these political challenges we have in our country. Right now, and all of the negativity, at least the Ryder Cup can bring some take back and basically say, you know, all that stupid crap that's going on and all of the rhetoric. How about just being an American? And that's what I wrote in my book. You know what? Let's just be Americans. Let's be together. And for this week, at least, you know what? Let's just lay out all that stupid politics stuff and let's just celebrate freedom. And you know what? Let's celebrate with the Europeans, you know?
Absolutely.
Let's bring in the world together, man.
Well, Bob Bupka said it very well earlier in a former segment or earlier segment, not former segment, earlier segment. Bob said that it was originally designed, this event, designed to promote golf and promote sportsmanship and camaraderie.
Yes.
And we've gotten away from that. And he said the war on the shore, you know, Kiowa. No, it's not a war. He said, don't use the term war when people like Major Ed and all the others have gone to war and understand the hell of what war really is. Those of us who haven't, sitting in this chair, being able to do what I do and not worry about anything that's going on around me, That's why I salute you so much, my friend.
You, well, and you
my
know,
heart goes out to you.
Thank you, and I'm rooting for the USA, but you can't help but to root for everyone involved.
Yeah, you have to.
And I, only one gets the prize. I'm not one of those guys that everybody gets a trophy, but at the end of the day, before they start the matches, hey, all of us are winners on this deal. To get on this stage from both sides of the aisle is tough. And you know what? There's going to be a lot of pressure, and they're going to go to what I call their own sort of combat against each other, but it's a team.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is teamwork and team unity. And, you know, they're representing the greatest nation in the world, the United States of America. And then, of course, the Europeans, they're representing their nations, too. And
sure.
How great it is that that can be all packaged into one deal, and it's called the Ryder Cup.
Yep, this is fantastic.
Man,
fun stuff.
Yeah, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Come on,
let's
man.
Go. Let's do it.
Let's
do
go.
It.
Let's take Tim with us. He's
come on, Tim. Get here. You know, when you high-five Major Ed.
Tony Beata, too,
Tony,
baby. Come on, Tony.
When you high-five Major Ed, you know, your hand stings for 5 minutes.
No, I'm
but
sorry.
No, it's okay. No, it's all good. It's all good, man. I like that. Anyway, we're getting out of control here. We're having fun. Major Ed, in just the last few seconds we have here, again, I want to thank you.
Thank
for
you.
For taking the time to come over and see me today. And thank you, sir, for your service.
Well, thank you. A big shout-out to our friends at Kemper Lesnick. They're just incredible people. And
Megan's the best, isn't she?
She is
Have
so awesome.
Have you played golf with Megan?
Well, I heard that she's really, really good. And just her smile and the love that they give us and the support that they're giving us for the Folds of Honor nationwide. I mean, they've got a big deal. And, you know, connecting us with you guys, man, I tell you what, that's a winning combination.
Let me tell you what. Megan Godfrey we're talking about.
Yeah.
Whipped my butt.
She did?
Oh, Waverly. Oh, she stomped me. She's a heck of a good golfer. She's really, really good.
Well,
Kemper Lesnick.
Well,
and we thank them for getting
us.
You over here to us and getting us together. And anything we can do, I want to get you to Azalea House. The boys are here.
I'm going to give you my a copy of my book.
Oh, fantastic.
I'm going to sign a copy. And then I'm also going to give you my card. And then also, you know, if some people have asked, you know, go to foldsofhonor.org and give generously. And then, of course, you know, you got a copy of my website there with my book, majored.org. You can learn more about my great friend Dan Rooney, Major Rooney, just an incredible person, but an incredible heart for these families. And I'm just glad that he gave a wounded warrior an opportunity to give back.
And we are too.
That's where I'm at
today. We are
today.
Too, sir.
And then I'm here with my brother, Tony Beata. Just big shout out to him. He lost his wife this year to cancer.
I'm sorry.
And
sorry,
you know what? He's my wingman, and I love him to death. And God bless you, brother.
Yeah.
Thank you for all you do for Patriot Golf Day.
God bless, pal. Yeah. Sorry you lost your wife. Yeah. Very sorry. Hey, Tim, get us out of here, and we'll because I got to wipe my eyes out a little bit.
Yeah.
Got some tears going over here. We're all kind of choked up.
We're choked up.
Yeah.
Hoorah!
All right. Thank you very much, Major Ed Polito. Again, Folds of Honor Foundation, and go to their website. Help out any way you can. They do some great, great work there, and just a little bit of enthusiasm there for Major Ed. All right, we are going to take a quick break. We are coming to you live from the Ryder Cup at Hazeltine National Golf Club the day before everything gets started. Gets kicked off tomorrow morning, bright and early, and we'll be there for that as well. We're going to take a break here when we come back. John Feinstein, the great author and golf historian, will be joining us here on Golf Talk America. So stay right where you are. Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you. And, of course, we've got Frank Bassett out at the Ryder Cup at Hazeltine National Golf Club. And join us now, one of the voices on PGA Tour Radio and Sirius XM, Fred Albers, is joining us. Hey, Fred, how you doing today?
Always good to talk with Tim with two M's.
Thank you very much. So the drama is already there, and you can already tell the buzz, even through the radio waves. You can tell that there's a buzz going on. You've been at Ryder Cups before. Is it similar? Is it different? Is there anything unique about this year's event?
It seems bigger to me. Maybe it's because my memory's getting poorer. The practice rounds have been hard to get around. There are so many people out here for practice rounds. I don't remember practice rounds being as crowded as what we've seen here at Hazeltine.
I was listening earlier to Paul McGinley, and he was talking about different strategies and things they would do. And he said one of them has been that when they're on American soil, the Europeans make a point of trying to be friendly to the crowd, try to take the crowd out of it, if you will, by being so nice and over the top. And he said at the same time, he's noticed that some Americans don't sign autographs and don't do some of the things that they're trying to do. So there's strategy. There's a lot more to it than just the golf game. There's a lot of mind games that are going on, and that's not even talking about Phil and Danny Willett's brother and all the other things. But there's strategy here that's beyond just the golf game, isn't there?
Yeah, well, I think that P.J. Willett took a lot of that goodwill away from him with
his
attacks about shiny tooth Americans. The U.S. does the same thing when they play in Europe. They hand out a lot of stuff and go out of their way to be nice to the fans. I don't know if all that makes much difference.
Now, Fred, you're doing play-by-play this week, right?
Correct.
So you're on the course.
I am.
And Fred is so nice to jump on because he has to go to a meeting. But I just wanted to make sure we got just a little bit of insight from you on what you think is going to happen, and we'll let you get out of here.
It'll be interesting to see European pairings, because I don't know if you can put the normal pairings together of two veterans, because you have so many rookies. They may have to break up some of those successful pairings that they have had in the past in order to put a veteran with a rookie. I think everything favors the Americans this week, but as we've seen in the past, that's not how it plays out.
I hope it plays out that way this week. It's going to be good. So
the
Fred,
golf course, is, of course, the golf course. Let me just ask you about the golf course.
Go ahead.
Fred, does it favor one team more than the other?
I wouldn't think so. I don't see. I mean, there's some really big par fives. You would think that favors some of the length, but you know the European team has, you know, Rafa Cabrera-Bello is huge. Rory McIlroy is huge off the tee. I'll be really interested to see the pairings that come out. You wonder if Davis will put Brooks Koepka with Dustin Johnson. Those would be two bombers. That would be a fun pairing to watch. It always comes down to making putts at the Ryder Cup.
Absolutely. Fred, thanks. I know you've got to go, but I appreciate you taking the time to just
Anytime.
Join us for a minute.
Thanks for thinking
always,
of me. Thank you, Frank.
I always
Fred.
Think of you, man.
Good
the best,
you,
Fred
Tim.
Albers.
All right.
Fred Albers, PGA Tour play-by-play. He's going to be doing the PGA Tour radio play-by-play. He's going to be doing the play-by-play here at the Ryder Cup. He also has a show on Sirius XM called Holtz and One that you need to catch with Coach Lou Holtz. And I wish we had Brendan Sweeney here to do his imitation of Coach Holtz right now. But
No, you don't.
Sorry it's getting so for our listeners, it's so jockeying around here, but there's a lot of excitement. And
it's a beehive.
On.
It's a beehive.
It is. It's like kicking a beehive. You know, I mean,
hey, Frank, you know what I think is interesting before we sign off and say goodbye? And I think what really is going to come down to is the pairings. And we really haven't talked that much about that. But I think when you're talking, and Fred just kind of alluded to the fact, would Brooks Koepka go with Dustin Johnson? Well, they could also go J.B. Holmes. Dustin and J.B. Holmes have played together before and done well as a couple of bombers. But you've got Ricky Fowler. You've got Jordan Spieth, who did so well with Patrick Reed when he's playing. There are some strategies that seem to make sense, and there's other times when you put somebody together that you're not even thinking about, a Jimmy Walker and a Matt Kuchar, maybe, that you're not even, and they turn out to be phenomenal. I think a lot of it's going to come down, and same thing on the European side, a lot of it's going to come down to who plays with who and who can feed off of each other, because it does seem like Jordan Spieth and Patrick Reed are a team for the next decade of President's Cup and Ryder Cups.
Yeah, I'm still going to go back, and you know me, I've got to do the comic relief here. Can you imagine, and I've said this before on the air, Dustin Johnson paired with Zach Johnson. And if Zach Johnson were 40 yards or 50 yards closer to the hole, what kind of damage could he do? What could we do with that team?
Yeah.
Plus, it's funny, it's Johnson and Johnson.
Johnson and Johnson. big Band-Aids everywhere. But Fred's right, and everybody's right who says, you know what, it does come down to the putting. And in the past, the Europeans have out-putted. You can talk about bombing the ball and iron shots and everything else.
Yep.
The Europeans have been better putters over the last 20 years than the Americans have. And so you hope, and that was certainly a big part of why Davis Love decided that, you know, when he was making his final pick, that he went with Ryan Moore. Ryan Moore showed his guts in that four playoff holes and the end of regulation at the Tour Championship, making great putts and clutch putts. And he said, you know what? If he was on the fence, that's the guy I need. I don't care whether he hits the ball 250, 350. I need a guy who can make putts when we need putts being made. We'll
that's
see
what it's all
if
about.
Ryan Moore comes through. Yeah, we'll see if he comes through.
This that was exciting to watch, too. I mean, I feel like I've been on the road more than Mel Brooks. Not Mel Brooks, Mel Gibson. But, wow, tired but excited. And this will drain you this week, man. It's going to be so much fun. And, of course, staying in a haunted house built in 1890 keeps you awake.
I can't wait to hear tomorrow's stories about who wakes up in the middle of the night.
Who knows? I don't know what it could be.
The ghost of Fran Tarkenton will be bringing the coming you to
guess,
you.
Guess who said it? Guess who's over here next to me to my right? I mean, it's just difficult to do a radio show when you have someone as gorgeous as Ann LaGoria over here, WFAN Radio, it's just tough to do a radio show.
Oh, I thought it was still Fred Albers that you were referring to.
No.
I love the gorgeous, Fred. The gorgeous Fred Albers was still.
And SiriusXM is up here behind me, but they're calling themselves Ryder Cup Radio this week. And we are actually the official PGA Tour Radio this week. So there you go.
Very nice.
Golf Talk America, live from the Ryder Cup. Man, I'm stoked. I can't wait to get outside. It's going to be great.
All right. Well, get out there right now. By the way,
I got to do it again. Got to say it again. Have to. AzaleaHospitality.com. These guys are so good to us. They have hosted us at our last four events. And we'll also, by the way, we'll be doing the Jordan Spieth Family Foundation charity event. And we're going to be live from Napa for Tiger's comeback at the Safeway. So, and Azalea House, Azalea Hospitality is behind us. So for all of our listeners out there, if you have a bucket list event you want to go to, whether it's Masters, Ryder Cup, Hospitality, Super Bowl, check out AzaleaHospitality.com. These guys are great. They really are friends and great, great hosts for us.
They certainly are. They certainly are. Take care of us very, very well. All right. Well, that'll do it for today's show. We appreciate everybody who had a chance to jump in there quickly, including Bob Bupka and Fred Albers. And, of course, Major Ed Polito with Folds of Honor Foundation. All of them will have a lot more guests on with us again tomorrow. So we're out of here. For Bobby Raymond and Frank Bassett live at the Ryder Cup, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks so much for being with us. And join us again tomorrow for Golf Talk America live from the Ryder Cup. We'll see you then.